It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the state of the Federal Election Commission. This agency is tasked with regulating federal campaign finance laws and elections, but it can no longer carry out its official capacity, no longer do its job after the resignation last summer of a commissioner that left it without the necessary four-person quorum. So what questions do you have about the FEC and how it operates? Do you have questions about how commissioners are appointed? How do you feel about the FEC operating without a quorum? We're at 800-642-1234. Dave Leventhal is editor-at-large for the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Public Integrity. He has been reporting on the FEC. Dave, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kate.
So what are some of the high-level actions that the Federal Election Commission, the FEC, is incapable of doing right now without its quorum?
Well, because the FEC simply doesn't have enough commissioners in place to have that quorum that you mentioned, it can't enforce federal campaign finance laws. It has had to effectively cancel all of its public meetings, and we're now up to about 10 of them since September 1st when it lost that quorum. And there's lots of other high-level business that the FEC can't attend to because it doesn't have that quorum, and that includes punishing election scofflaws, people who are doing the wrong thing or violating the law in the estimation of an FEC that can't make that determination. And this is also important, too. It can't provide official advice to candidates or other types of political actors, such as political action committees, that are just simply seeking to comply with federal campaign finance laws and other laws, which, you know, it's important to note that most want to comply with the law. They want to do the right thing.
So it can no longer right now be a resource for compliance in election law?
That's true. And this is something that has manifested itself in several different ways. Most recently, a congressional candidate in Georgia. She wants to ask the FEC if she can use campaign funds to pay for her health care, which she's had to give up in order to run for Congress. She had to quit her job, and she wants the FEC to make a ruling, an official ruling, on whether she and, frankly, any other candidate, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, could dip into their campaign coffer and pay for their own health insurance. That seems, you know, relatively relevant given all the talk about health care and coverage and whatnot. But the FEC is not in a position right now because of that lack of quorum to make a ruling on that. So she's basically going to have to either go ahead and do it and potentially get fined for it or otherwise penalized once the FEC reconstitutes itself, or she's just going to have to go without health care, which is also a potential issue, too.
So they couldn't answer that congressional candidates the congressional candidates question on health care there and whether to be able to use campaign funds. Are there other low level actions that the agency is still able to perform?
There is. So the FEC, it's a regulatory body, and it was formed right in the aftermath of Watergate, in fact, in 1975, to deal with a variety of things, not only enforcing campaign finance laws, but providing transparency for the campaign finance process. And that includes making sure that all the candidates and all the political committees out there are filing regular reports and disclosing how much money they're bringing in, how much money they are spending, if they have debt. And the FEC is continuing to do that function, continuing to play that role. So, for example, just a couple of days ago, all the presidential candidates who are running, all the congressional candidates who are running, had to file reports that pretty much brought us through the end of December on exactly what I just laid out, how much they've spent, how much they've raised. And the FEC was right at the tip of the spear in making sure that those reports got out into the public domain. But beyond that, when it comes to, well, hey, somebody filed their report incorrectly, or based on their report, it's pretty clear that they might be in violation of the law, the FEC is not in a position now to take that next step and actually enforce the law that is on the books for all of these different types of political candidates and committees who are supposed to be overseen by the FEC.
So if a campaign makes a misstep in a campaign finance law, are there potential fines here at risk?
Absolutely. And the FEC has the power as a civil agency to fine committees that do violate campaign finance laws. The FEC is not a criminal enforcer of laws. There's no FEC police, per se. In the Department of Justice, in fact, still has that ability if somebody's doing something that's so egregious or there's suspicion of somebody doing something really beyond the pale, the Department of Justice still can go after those candidates or those political committees. But pretty much, you know, most of the issues that fall in the realm of campaign money and campaign finance are the purview of the FEC. And again, the FEC is not in a position to put that law enforcer hat on and actually go and fully investigate and ultimately punish those who are doing the wrong thing.
We're talking about the Federal Election Commission and its inability to police campaign spending, other election issues as well. Our guide is Dave Leventhal from the Center for Public Integrity. What questions do you have about the FEC? What do you want to know about how it operates? Do you have questions about how commissioners are appointed? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Dave, do candidates have any alternatives right now, like going to another agency or through the courts to weigh in on the questions they have that come up in their campaigns?
Theoretically, yes. If a candidate really wanted to get a ruling from some governmental body about a question that they had about how to run their campaign, they could potentially petition a federal court, although that takes a lot of time. It could be fairly expensive, and there hasn't seemed to be too much of an appetite from anyone, at least at this point, to take that route. Usually they go the route of the FEC because it's fairly efficient when the FEC is operating, and they can get an answer pretty quickly to a question that is oftentimes very time-sensitive, given that campaigns only last for so long. We know when the election date's coming up, and it's coming up in November, or primaries, which are coming up even sooner. So really what's probably going to happen for any candidate that does have a question that it wants to get answered from the FEC is it's just going to have to take a risk at this point. It's either going to have to do the thing it wants to do or not, potentially at its peril.
So let's look at who's around the table at the FEC. There are six commissioners. It needs four to establish a quorum. How long has the commission been without a quorum?
Commission's been without a quorum since September 1st of last year. So now we're in our sixth month of the FEC not having any ability to carry out its high-level functions. And there really is no end in sight. As it is right now, as you mentioned, there are six commissioners on the FEC, or six commissioner slots. Three of those are vacant, and the other three are filled by commissioners who themselves have long overserved what's supposed to be a single six-year term for each commissioner. Collectively, those three remaining commissioners have served more than 30 years beyond the expiration of their six-year term. So they theoretically should have been gone a long time ago. They're still there in what's called holdover status. And the question I get a lot is, well, wait, who's responsible for this? Mm-hmm. Who should be naming new commissioners? And the answer to that is Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone. The president of the United States, be it Donald Trump or previously Barack Obama, George W. Bush, alone has the responsibility and the right to name new commissioners, to nominate new commissioners. And then the U.S. Senate, in turn, has to go and approve those commissioners. At this moment, Donald Trump has zero FEC nominees pending before the U.S. Senate. He talked a very strong game, for example, during the State of the Union address, Donald Trump did, about judicial nominees that he's put forward, and he's very proud of that. At the same time, he has not made any nominees this calendar year for the Federal Election Commission. And that's curious, too, in the sense that Donald Trump has active complaints against his 2020 reelection campaign pending before the FEC that can't be dealt with by the FEC because Donald Trump himself is not nominating new commissioners.
But he did make a nomination in 2017, Texas Attorney Trey Traynor, a Republican. What happened there?
He did, and then he renominated him again. But Trey Traynor's nomination has lapsed because the U.S. Senate has decided not to take up that nomination. Traditionally, the Senate has liked to take up nominations in pairs, and it's important to note that the FEC is a bipartisan agency. It's not controlled by Republicans or Democrats at any given time, and that at least three commissioners, or I should say a maximum of three commissioners, can only be from one party. So traditionally, there have been three Democrats or three Republicans. Maybe you'd have an independent in there, but somebody who caucused with one side or another. And because Donald Trump had not nominated a Democratic nominee to serve on that bipartisan agency, the Senate just couldn't come to an agreement to move forward. Trey Traynor, mind you now, his nomination has lapsed, and that's why we don't at this point have any nominees before the Senate, because Donald Trump hasn't renominated him or nominated anyone else.
Has the White House explained this, explained President Trump's rationale for not making a nomination to fill these vacant seats?
They have, and I've spoken to the White House, and the answer that I got on that very issue is that the White House at this point, if you take them at their word, wants to renominate all commissioners, or should I say, get rid of the three remaining commissioners and fill the three slots that are open. I misspoke there. The U.S. Senate wants that to happen, and the White House wants only simply one commissioner to be taken up, Trey Traynor. So as a result, the White House, at least until Trey Traynor's nomination lapsed, just wanted the Senate to go and push him through and didn't want to deal with anything else. The U.S. Senate wanted to go and basically get a whole new slate, at least on the Republican side. And then the Democrats, they wanted just kind of what the White House wanted, in fact. So it's kind of this odd, strange three-way dance that's taking place where the parties who are doing the dancing can't really agree with one another.
Talking about the FEC efforts to fill all six commissioner seats, Dave Leventhal from the Center for Public Integrity is with us. How would you change the management of the Federal Election Commission? Who do you think should oversee this watchdog agency? What do you want to know about the FEC's operations in an election year? Join in with your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Dave Leventhal right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Federal Election Commission, the FEC, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Without a quorum, the FEC is unable to monitor compliance with election laws. The agency also can't vote on investigations, provide guidance, or conduct audits. So what do you want to know about the FEC's operations in an election year? Are you concerned about the agency's policing of campaigns? Do you feel that campaigns for federal officers are operating under the same set of rules? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dave Leventhal is editor-at-large for the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Public Integrity, and he stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Peter is joining us from Madison. Hi, Peter.
Hi. Thanks for having this topic. It's a very interesting, very timely topic. My question is, do complaints ever time out, so to speak? So whether President Trump is reelected or not, when they get a quorum, would the complaint against him still be ruled on, or do they just kind of expire because it's maybe not relevant anymore?
Thanks, Peter. Dave?
It's a great question, and the answer is yes, that complaints can time out. So, for example, there are some complaints right now that, in dozens, in fact, that are at risk during this calendar year of timing out from previous elections. If the FEC isn't there to rule, there's typically 5 years that the FEC has to make a ruling and make a determination. And so that's one issue. We could have them basically reach a statute of limitations, so to speak. Also, too, there's the other issue of complaints that have been made during the 2020 election cycle. There's almost no chance of them getting dealt with in real time or anything close to that. You're looking at complaints that have been made in the 2020 election cycle, probably getting dealt with sometime a year, two, even three or four from now. And those campaigns are going to be well and done by the time that the FEC gets around to making a determination one way or another.
Peter, thanks for the call. Dave, are the three remaining commissioners expected to leave anytime soon?
It's a possibility. I've talked to all three of them. I've gotten responses from two of them. One in particular, Ellen Weintraub. She's a Democrat. She was the chairwoman last year. She's gone back to just being a garden variety commissioner this year. She's been there since 2002. She said, hey, I can't really give you an answer. And then Caroline Hunter, who's a Republican, when I posed the same question to her, she made no commitment as to whether she would stay until the end of the year. Right now, she is the chairwoman, even though she doesn't have necessarily a lot to do as a chairwoman. But it could be a situation where the FEC actually loses additional commissioners before it gains new commissioners.
So do these commissioners leave for personal reasons, for other interests, to go into private law? What happens to them?
It depends on each commissioner. For example, Matthew Peterson, a Republican, he was the commissioner who left that created this lack of a quorum back on September 1st. He went into private practice. There are other commissioners who've taken different routes. One notable one would be Ann Ravel, a Democrat who is very in the public, oftentimes like to do a lot of TV and a lot of radio, definitely the face and the voice of the FEC for a while. And she's running for state Senate in California. So some people go into private practice, some go into politics, some don't do a whole lot after all and retire, which has been the case with at least a couple of commissioners as well.
We're discussing the FEC, the status of it, and its ability to police campaigns as we get closer to the 2020 election season. Our guide is Dave Leventhal from the Center for Public Integrity. Still time for your questions on the FEC, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR. At mornings at WPR.org. You reported, Dave, that prominent election attorneys and campaign watchdog organizations are openly at odds over how the FEC should be relaunched, rebooted. What is at the heart of that debate?
It kind of goes back to what we talked about in the previous segment, which is the notion of, hey, the president and the Senate could just ram through one commissioner nominee who would basically get the FEC back to having a quorum so that it could conduct business. Now, the FEC has never in recent years been some sort of Shangri-La of bipartisanship. There's been a significant philosophical divide on the FEC, with Republicans generally saying that the FEC has done a lot of regulatory overreach and has tried to. And that they want to protect the First Amendment, making sure that political actors of all sorts can basically speak freely during elections and not have a lot of restrictions. Democrats feel that, no, in fact, that the FEC has done a bad job policing campaign finance. So that's kind of one consideration. The other consideration is the notion that since there are three vacancies and three commissioners who have long overstayed their terms, that the FEC just needs a clean sweep, that you need six new commissioners in there, ones who can start from the ground up. They can build their own rapport with each other, and they can begin to form a new FEC. And then I would add, Kate, a third kind of option that a lot of Democrats in particular are pushing, which is that the FEC itself needs to change, that instead of having a bipartisan commission where no one side really has providence over the other, that it should be a five-member commission, or it should be something else where there are going to be decisions made with greater efficiency, that we won't have what we've seen a lot of this past decade, which are deadlocks on very high-profile cases where the FEC hasn't even been able to come to a ruling because it couldn't get a minimum of four commissioners to agree on any one thing.
Yeah, we're seeing echoes here, I think, at the federal level as we look at what's going on with Wisconsin State Elections Commission. It's designed so half of its members are appointed by Democrats, half are appointed by Republicans. What is the political composition like then, and how productive can an agency be if it is split like that?
Generally, you're going to have an agency that isn't going to necessarily take as many decisive actions on really thorny political issues. And that's much to a lot of Democrats' chagrin who want to see an agency like the FEC or state-level agencies, be it in Wisconsin or Texas or anywhere else, really come down on people or political committees that are violating the law or have been determined to violate the law. But the counterpoint to that is that if you have an agency that is controlled by Republicans or controlled by Democrats, even if it's for a temporary period of time, that they're really going to play politics when it comes to political issues that affect both parties. And that instead of that agency being some sort of a very neutral arbiter of what's right and what's wrong, they're going to use that agency as a political weapon against an opponent. And you hear that from Republicans a lot, that that's a major concern of theirs, especially if Democrats get in control, that they're just going to try to go after Republicans all the time. Is either side right? Well, who really knows? But at the same time, too, those are the concerns that are keeping the FEC from really changing, because they're has to almost be bipartisan agreement for the FEC to change. And we just haven't gotten anywhere close to that yet here in Washington, D.C.
You were looking through FEC filings yesterday and found that Scott Walker's 2016 presidential campaign committee is still active. And the committee paid $40,000 in legal fees over the last several months of 2019. What is notable there?
What's notable is that we have a lot of political committees, whether it's Scott Walker's presidential committee from 2016, Newt Gingrich's political presidential committee from 2012 would be another example of campaigns that just have that are, number one, still open, technically, even if their named candidate is not running and hasn't run for years, and that a lot of them still have a lot of debt or are still taking actions to spend money, whether it's in a legal context, a political context. And the FEC has been relatively outspoken on the issue of campaigns that are no longer active closing down, getting rid of that money, which they could do in a number of ways, donate it to charities, give it to other political committees. But you sort of have a lot of these zombie political campaigns and committees that exist out there, and one just so happens to be in your own state of Wisconsin as well.
Dave, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Dave Leventhal is editor-at-large for the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Public Integrity, and we've been talking about his reporting on the Federal Election Commission. Just ahead, we look at placebos, how they're used in science and medicine, as researchers are fascinated with understanding how placebos or fake drugs can sometimes have dramatic consequences on our health. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.